Welcome back to Pax Europiana, to our debate about peace. But in this section, I talk about prosperity, economic reform, and how that's an important contribution to peace and obviously to prosperity, not to repeat it too much, but to make it clear how really we have to reform in Central Europe, Eastern Europe, in Europe in general, but it's also applicable to any part of the world. Because what I talk now is about how to treat land. And land is obviously very important for economic development. That's why we call land, countries are about land very much. And next to its people, that's of course the most important resource in an economic sense, it's land which is really very decisive. It's no longer as important as it once was because our economy has developed. But still, it's a really very important storage of value. You can use it for agriculture, for tourism, for residential buildings, for infrastructure, for urban development, for all aspects. It's really very important, and it has many, many aspects and huge significance in how it's governed. And this is basically the making a difference, because land, there is a lot in the world. Land, we have really a lot. Yeah. But the question is how you govern land, how you make it accessible, in a sense, legally, and how you manage it. That's, of course, a huge difference. And that's the difference between rich and poor nations. And we in Europe, we should really do also much better in how we treat land. Yeah, obviously, this is many aspects, and I want to start step by step, you know, one by one. Let me start with the aspect of agriculture, obviously. That's a huge and important aspect, feeding the people, having enough agriculture production. But how you really manage it, where are the borders of the land, how it's used, what kind of material you give in the land, and who is actually using it. And so land rights are very much property rights. These are really the basis of serious economic developments. You can see countries where they have very vague concepts of property rights. Then you have a lot of property conflicts. You have also a lot of insecurity. And then you have low levels of prosperity. And the better the property rights system is developed, and the better it's clear who belongs what, and also it's registered, and then it's also possible to mortgage it. And so suddenly the administration level and the modern economy can build on a firm fundament. And the firm fundament is what I call the European cadastre system. Cadastre might be a technical word, what I call, some countries in the world call it a land register. Some countries have less of a good land register, but that's a serious mistake. Every land, every ownership right should be accessible in an internet-based public register. It must be very clear who owns which apartment, who has which rights on that apartment, who owns which plot of land, what's the name and the number of that plot of land, who has the right for what kind of usage, and what is the long-term plan for this land in terms of urban planning, in terms of agriculture, in terms of infrastructure, and so on and so on. And this is the backbone or the fundament of the rule of law. This is the backbone of the financial system. I will explain why. It's also how basically taxation has originally developed, with registering the land, then attaching property value and taxation to it. And so modern administrative registration has started in history. And that's really often the case, that we still have not reached this level. I will never forget, in the Greek financial crisis of 2011, one German minister of economy has made one of the statements. It was very funny. We recently discovered that Greece doesn't have a working cadastre system. That was in 2011. Anyhow, so what I want to say, this is really very fundamental and very important. Luckily, today, with digitalization and all the modern tools, this process can be done not fast, but rather seriously in a few years, very significantly, amazingly well, to new levels of transparency and accuracy. Because, first of all, it must be accurate. The land borders must be accurately and transparently described and measured, because otherwise you ultimately end up with two sides shooting it out. And I worked also in Albania. And for example, there were a lot of property-related people killed, yeah? Because when you don't have a transparent register, when you have no way to really assess it, but with brutality or defending the border, because your neighbor might be also relatively clear that he owns that part of the land, and you think it's your land, and then ultimately when there is no rule of law, then you only have to the situation to shoot it out. And this is happening in the real life out there. Now, obviously, the situation is much better, and all these conflicts have resided exactly because it was possible to establish borders, clarity, cadastre system, and land register in transparency. And that's really important, transparency. I know some people, they are very concerned about privacy, but I think land right is something as very special right. It should not be, how can I say, hidden from the public who owns an apartment, who owns land. This is a right which is given to you by the state. It's protected by the state. So there must be transparency. And, you know, then is always the question why you should know that. You know, because it is really important for society to clear a little bit the relation with the past and also with the future transparency, and also issues about who got why what. That's always in transition economy is a major issue. And I think transparency is much better. We shouldn't protect the rich and powerful and often the kleptocratic elites under some kind of artificial vision of data protection. Obviously, your personal data should be protected, but the state is protecting the right that this property right is really secured, and attached to it, there should be also transparency. So I'm against all the system that you have to pay to know who owns something. I'm against all this kind of secrecy in the property rights. It should be clear who owns what and what kind of mortgage rights are on this property. And this should be visible to everybody in the world, on the internet, online. And look at the Macedonian case. This is really the best role model I have, probably the best cadastre system. You click on it in a kind of Google Earth style map, and then you zoom in and you see exactly whose plot, where is this plot, how is this plot, is there a mortgage, who is the owner. And that's very good. Obviously not with the telephone number, not with any more private details, but the name and the place. Yeah. So that's how it should be globally. And that's very good. And also the amount of corruption will be much reduced with exactly this kind of disclosure and this kind of transparency. And the amount of conflicts is also much reduced. Macedonia is also a very good, North Macedonia is a very good example also what you can achieve with modern land registers in that sense, because they have increased the level of transparency also, that you see where is an ongoing construction permit, what's the number of the construction permit, who has given this construction permit, and also the whole process of giving construction permits is digitalized. So it works automatically within a certain delay. All the others who have to give their consents, from electricity to water company, you can see, did they give the permits? Is everything legal? And then you have also the future apartments, which are on the construction at the moment. You have also with a number in this digital cadastre, and the banks can see the mortgage claim and put the lien, the mortgage claim, on this already currently non-existing, but going to be built apartment, yeah? And then you can see already apartment A40 is already mortgaged by Erste Bank or by Sparkasse or whatever the bank is called in Macedonia. And this is a really good system to protect the consumers and also to increase the possibility of mortgage financing. Now you will say that's something anyhow everybody does. No, in the transition countries, it's very complicated to get mortgage financing, because and the cadastres are not working very well. The banks don't trust them. The interest rates are very high. So bridging and this kind of link between land and the banking market is very important. And that's actually the role of the cadastre, to bridge this and to make legal security that people who don't know you, a banking institution, trust the legal system of a country so much that they know that this is accurate, this description of this property. It's really clean, the title. It's really working. And I can put the money which the savers of my clients have entrusted to me as a bank, I can put to this person to buy that property in over 10, 20 years in order to really have this legal security and him to buy it when he only can do a small down payment. And obviously that's working wonderfully in America already and in many of the Western European states. But most of the world, the mortgage system is not working. And the mortgage work system means that that capital, land or apartments, is transformed into real capital. You can either buy the apartment with it or maybe remortgage it, give it as a collateral for a business loan, and then suddenly the economy is really growing. And that's the miracle of economic development. Yeah? It means that the mortgage market works. That means that the land and the financing, the banking market, can be like twin pillars to mutually lift up consumers and SMEs towards the next level of prosperity by suddenly having a leverage, which they otherwise almost certainly don't have. And that makes a big difference for economic development. And that can be now done with technology much easier than ever in the history. And that's really good. It is also very important for property rights, because with this transparency, you can also then put a transparent urban planning over. Then you know already where will be infrastructure lines built, will this maybe possible expropriated, who is the real owner, that and what is the long-term usage of this land. That's really amazing for a society. It also opens a lot of new opportunities with geo-information system, geo-portals, a new level of transparency for the whole nation, but also then combine this with the IT industry, have a lot of new levels of geo-information system applications in all aspects about what is happening where in the country. And that's really very, very important. And also when it comes to urban development, that's also very important. So what else I want to say on this beautiful topic? I talked about corruption, construction permits, yeah, the whole construction sector. It's one of the most important sectors in any transition economy, and in any economy, the construction sector, building residential buildings, building obviously everything else, the construction sector is very important. But there's a lot of informality attached in the construction sector. And this is, of course, breeding a lot of corruption, because this informality of the apartment sales, the informality of not registering your workers, that creates also a lot of opportunity to bribe then the mayor to get more construction permits. And that's what, unfortunately, it's often happening. So exactly this system of a transparent cadastre, of a clear land use, and of a transparent digitalization of the construction permitting, this is really very beneficial, and I recommend the Macedonian model. So that's not all why it matters. Okay, I have talked about this twin system of the court and the banking system, but it's also very important that the cadastre and the courts are also twinned. Because why? It is important to see that for debt collection. Debt collection must always have also this idea that ultimately the property, if there's a property owner, and then in this property can be, and the debts can be collected against the property in the liability side of the cadastre. Then it's also, of course, the backbone of the property tax system. It's also that everybody should have an address and a clearly identifiable place of residence. That means also you can send him court letters, you can also find him. And in case he's a criminal, you can also expropriate this property. This is also a very important aspect, because when somebody is, for example, in drug business or in weapon smuggling, has made a lot of illicit gains and puts it then into property, And then you jail him, he goes maybe in jail, but the property he keeps, his family is happy. And when he returns after some years from prison, he's a very rich man. That's obviously not the idea. Unfortunately, it's happening too often in transition countries, and that's not good. So definitely it must be also, there's clarity who owns what. It's also transparency how he has acquired that. That's also a very important aspect when it comes to state and taxation, because it should be clear when I buy an apartment, let's say in Pristina or in Kiev, and it costs 100,000 euros, and that's about the level, it costs maybe 200,000, it's not so cheap anymore. And then the question is, when I have a, let's say, 400 euro monthly income, how came I had this opportunity? Did I inherit? Did I sell something else? Was I a corrupt government official? Or did I do some drug money laundering in this operation? Or I simply saved a lot of money, or I took a mortgage. But there must be a clear link between the tax authorities and the cadastre and the court that they exchange data and they also check. Please, my name is so-and-so, I have this income level, and this is my mortgage, that's why I could buy it. And this level of transparency must be also given. And also internationally, in the European context, it must be clear when somebody worked 20 years in Germany, comes back to Pristina, or somebody worked in Ukraine or whatever, it must be some clarity where the funds are coming for major transaction like property transactions. Absolutely, in order to reduce money laundering, but also tax evasion. That's really very important. Yeah? So, that's in general very important. Also the institutional cooperation between the central bank, the tax authorities, and the cadastre. There must be also data interoperability that really this works seriously and clear in order to clean up and not incentivize informality and money laundering. So, what else maybe to talk about? This personal experiences I had in Kosovo, in the cadastral situation, also in Ukraine on the property rights. There were a lot of, in whole Eastern Europe and Eastern Europe, obviously, after the transition, when much of this property was expropriated by the communism, or it was during war situation, there was a change of the property jurisdiction, obviously a lot of problems occur. And it's very important with transparency to work against it, the clarity, who is now the owner, what's the property history. Property is quite unique in that sense, when it cannot change the location, and so over time it's not so often changing normally the ownership. So there should be some kind of clarity in the property transaction history historically, and if there is a break when something happened which was not legally, then there must be a justification or some recompensation. And this is very important. Yeah? When the state has expropriated for a political reason, must be recompensation. If there is any kind of theft for whatever political reasons or for whatever kind of crime reason, then there must be a legal recourse against it. And you can find the data. You can find the data on everything over time when you want as a society. But it's very important. And also there should not be too much limitation on foreign ownership, especially inside Europe, because it's a big problem. For example, in Ukraine, there was huge limitations on the transfer of property, especially agriculture property, under a lot of kind of funny excuses for years and years. And it has just recently been improved and is one of the big achievements of President Zelensky to have this achievement, that this kind of so-called moratorium on land sales, which was freezing all the privatized land plots, which were after the fall of communism, given back to the collective farm workers. They got some recompensation for all the torture in the Soviet Union, and then they were not allowed to sell it, because basically then in that condition they either had to use it themselves, but many of them had to rent it to bigger agricultural companies much below the market value, and that was very profitable system, because then the land rents in this very productive land in Ukraine were much lower than in Western Europe. And so these agricultural oligarchs got very rich with that system. They had the political clout to continue it, and 6 million people were for so long blocked in their property rights. very big disaster, obviously, now gradually getting better because of the European orientation of Ukraine now, and a lot of pressure and a lot of activities of a lot of good people. And I was happy that I could at least visit and write some letters and do some tweets about it. But there were great activists, and I want to congratulate them that they have overcome this great property injustice of this moratorium. Also in Kosovo, a lot of things have happened. There was one of the biggest property transfer system after the war, no, not often by voluntary, in terms of that the situation was that there was a lot of property later exchanged after the war. Serbs who were no longer interested living there, they wanted to sell, and Kosovars who came back. And so it was a huge transaction, and so many billions of euros were transferred in property. And it must be that this is all now legalized and registered. When there was injustice, it must be legally, there must be legal recourse. Yeah, and in property, you can go back until the Ottoman times. You can find every transaction where there was no contract or where there was any kind of force involved. Yeah, then let's see exactly how it was, the transaction, and when there is a claim, to really bring it to justice. This is the way, I think. We live in Europe. Property is a human right, and ownership must be protected. No matter what the political circumstances, this must be all done. In Crimea, for example, it's now that the Russians are basically forcing and squeezing out Ukrainian owners with very high property taxes. Yeah? Only for non-residents, yeah? meaning Ukrainians, yeah? And so on and so on. There's a lot of injustice in the property sector in Eastern Europe, and this is something which needs to be addressed, and it's really very important, the best way with a European cadastre system. What I mean with that? I'm also calling for an EU agency for the cadastre, a European umbrella organization, or as a EU agency. We have already some Inspire portal, and you know, there is already something. But up to now, the land usage and the land registration system were not Europeanized. And I don't call for a complete Europeanization, no. It must be an umbrella of the Europe, of all 27 and the future member states cadastre system, and also some harmonization in terms of accuracy, in terms of transparency, in terms of best standards and practices. Because when the Macedonians can do such a wonderful system, which not even in Austria exists, we really can do better. And this is an important, important aspect of European justice and European peace. One second. This is very important, to have this European cadastre system, a European agency for cadastre, also where the new member states and the future member states already participate, and where best practices are exchanged, where the data interoperability is exchanged, where also one day a European mortgage market should develop. Because recently, after the financial crisis, we are making it much more complicated for an EU citizen to buy property somewhere else. And why should not somebody work in France and want a property in Austria and maybe work part-time a year in Italy or whatever people do? There must be freedom on that one. And we actually renationalize the mortgage market. This is another big problem. So I don't agree with that. We should really, no matter where you have inherited the property, might be in Germany, you want to work in Italy, you have a mission there, you have your income there, but you want to mortgage your German property for buying something in Italy because it's better for you. And then we have, unfortunately, very little chances for that. So a European mortgage market requires also interoperability of the European cadastre system and a better working European level of mortgage competition, obviously. It must be also, in Austria, it's also possible that I go to a bank from Vorarlberg because they are cheaper when I want to buy an apartment and fund an apartment in Vienna. So it also should be totally possible that I go to a Portuguese bank on the internet, say I have my apartment here, and the Portuguese bank can also then get a mortgage, a link, a lien on my Vienna apartment. Why not? Then we have much more competition. Obviously, the banks don't like that, but much more competition, better choice. On the internet, you can see all the offers. Who wants to do that? And then maybe I'm transferred to Rome and I'm lucky to find a job there. And then I want to take this loan with me and the apartment. I want to remortgage and then buy something in Rome. I think in Europe, in an internal market, that should be possible. And today, I don't see it. Everybody treats you very shabbily when you are from another country and you want a mortgage in another country. No, go back home to your country to get your mortgage. But I want to buy something in Amsterdam because I work there. No, that's not for you. The mortgage market here is only for the Dutch. I mean, seriously? Is this the Europe we want? We really have to build a European mortgage market and a European cadastre system and a European financial system. We are not meant to just to be at home. Like now in the corona crisis, everybody has to go home because that's the place you were born. It's like in ancient Roman time when you have a census, you have to go to the place where you are born. That's really a bit hard for me to accept, and I don't accept it actually. Get a European mortgage market. Get European-wide transparency, European-wide competition in the financial market, and get this done. So I talked about corruption. That's very good. Informality, the construction sector, the urban planning. Yes. Let's also talk about state land, yeah, and state and expropriation and state ownership. That's a big topic as well. You know, in Austria, but in Austria, for example, the former Habsburg state properties were all nationalized in 1918. Yeah? Fine, that was the change of political regime. But still today, and the whole forest, which the Habsburg family and the state owned, yeah, they are owned by the Austrian State Forest Company. And 10% of the Austrian landmass is owned by the Austrian state forest, it's called, yeah, the state landholding. And so on and so on. The public side is a huge landholder, a landowner. I don't know the exact percentage. It would be interesting to see how much of the Austrian landmass is really owned by the state, either in the federal states, the Landes, the regional units, the municipalities, or the state companies, or the state forest companies, or the state property holding, and so on and so on. I'm talking probably about the hundreds of billions of wealth, which is basically in state ownership as a state. Yeah? And I wonder myself, is this necessary? Obviously, everybody would say, yeah, for natural protection. I agree that some of the real natural parks, and they should be owned by the state. Huh? Yeah, sure, fine, yeah. But, you know, so much? Is this really true? So many apartments owned by the state? Are we a kind of a semi-capitalist system? Are we a kind of a mixed economy? I think, for example, apartments in a certain social category, yes, yeah, can be owned by the city of Vienna. They is the biggest apartment holder of Europe, to my best knowledge. Yes, you know, but only for certain income categories for a certain time, not permanently as a privilege. And having a good income, but living in a subsidized city-owned apartment lifelong. No, this is for students, this is for maybe retired people, this is for people in a certain income category, yes. But then please find your apartment on the private sector and invest in it. And this is the idea. It's not the idea that everybody lives in a subsidized housing. One third of Vienna is a subsidized housing owned by the city. That's a confused system, independent of the income level. I think that is wrong. And also, then the argument is, but when we want to build something, it's good to have something. Yeah, that's for the municipality, for example. Yes, I agree. But the state anyhow has the right to expropriate when it's in the public interest. For example, you want to build a motorway. Anyhow, the state is expropriating for public infrastructure, for big building projects. This is happening and always buying it basically first or in the latest case, then expropriating in a certain cadence of escalation. Yes, but is it necessary to keep so much for so long and not really manage it well and keep it somehow for the future in some kind of indefinite kind of idea that the public can own things better. I think, you know, some things, yes, you know, when it's very sensitive, it makes sense to manage a public swimming access to a lake. Yes, fine. Let's have two free access points for swimming for the public as a kind of puffing place. Yeah, yes, but not all. Let's have some of the forests can be owned by the state, yeah, but not 10% of the forest, yeah, and so on. We really have to a little bit evaluate, yeah. Not everything we have inherited for some kind of very specific, the Habsburg Empire acquired this forest, and so it will be staying in Austrian state ownership forever. I mean, we have to at least a little bit evaluate what is the reality today, why we have it. Wouldn't it be better, maybe there's somebody interested to manage that property better, then the state can use this money and pay back some debts or somehow reduce the debt burden and have maybe there will be something much better done with this land instead of just keeping it empty. Because we should use land. Land is not just for keeping it like it is. Yeah? I know it's a big ideological debate because everybody thinks, we lose land, and land will be destroyed by building. No, I have never understood that. Land is not destroyed by building because you build something decently, because according to the building regulations, and then people will live happily in these places. Yeah? And it's a great investment and a great business and a place for people to enjoy and to live and to invest and to raise their families there. So land has to be used. If it's used for natural protection purposes because it's a beautiful lake or a beautiful mountain or a beautiful natural reservoir, fine. Yeah, then protect this in that manner. But not that we defend every agricultural parcella and we make it and it's just impossible to build while our population is growing and we just artificially increase the value of the existing real estate, make the people who have inherited land and property richer because the property is inflated, because we don't supply new residential buildings, because the growing cities need also these places to grow. And then of course, you know, when it's a beautiful vineyard, of course we shouldn't destroy it. But destroy, I also use that word. Of course, we shouldn't build then in all the beautiful vineyards some kind of big building block. Must be always a reasonable kind of consensus in the municipality what is appropriate and what not. But development is good. Using land is good. It's not there to keep it like it was a jungle. No, use it and use it in a public consensus through the institution. What's the best land use? But be open. People have also a right to live in single houses. Yeah, obviously, they have to carry the cost of having single houses with the utilities, with the access levels. It should not be that this cost of single houses externalized to everybody else. But we should definitely be ready to have clarity. And this clarity we should have, and using land is good. So let me conclude, tax and land belong together, banking sector and land belong together, courts and land belong together, and the cadastre is really very important for the rule of law, for this organized society, for a decent way of living, and only when we have good governance in the land use, then we have a really modern and a successful economy. It matters very much, so we need the EU agency for cadastre, we need a European mortgage market, and we need really more transparency in who owns what. Yeah? And that's also important for agricultural subsidies, don't let me forget this aspect, very important, should be clear who gets what, why he gets that, and what is really happening, and behind each plot of land, each property must be also a revenue stream, and that should be also devoted to the municipality, in a sense. I want to make that point as well. I think property taxes should be funded for the municipality, funding for the municipality. We need higher property taxes. We need also clarity who rents out property. The revenue of property tax income should be not for the state, but also devoted to the municipality where the property is. And also we need clarity that there is the usage is also taxed. And that's, I think, the better way ahead. And so I call for a European cadastre. I call for a European cadastre agency. I call for transparency in this land and to treat land decently and seriously, not as a kind of dodgy place to take it. It's a very important part of the economic life of the society, also that everything looks nice, that it's in good condition. Ownership matters here. People care for their property and it should be in a good condition. And maybe I will make a second podcast also about property registration, property administration, communal property, in a sense that is also a big issue actually in all Eastern European countries, that the what you call in America condominium association, we call it house administration systems, where all this additionally costs, which are part of a jointly owned apartment block, they are often not really working, these systems in Eastern Europe, and they are still inheritance of the communism. I'm very much in favor of the Viennese model of house administration, and this is really working much better, where you basically share all the costs in a pool, and this entity, the house administration together, distributes then the cost of insurance, of maintenance, of renovation pooling, of taxes, of public cleaning outside, of waste, water, and so on. They shared it, they counted per square meter, and everybody has to pay it, also potentially by enforcement via the liability side of the cadastre. This is really very good system, and we like it very much, and it works very well, and gradually it will work also in most countries of Southeastern Europe and make a big, big difference. Good, good. These are most of the topics. I can take property very seriously. It's an important aspect. And yes, to a European cadastre as a key element of European economic reform. Thanks a lot for your attention.